This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, we are in lockdown here in the ACT. Don't really need to tell anybody that. You're in your apartment. I'm here in the studio.
I am.
But, look, I wanted to get in shape for summer this year to a level where I'd be like, cool, yeah, I'm whack my shirt off at the pool and I'm feeling confident in myself. I've never really had a summer where that's been, like, absolutely something I can do. Like, I've always been
here, let me present you three reactions. What would you be your preferred one? Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. And be realistic, okay, but also what's your preferred one? Okay, ready? Here's the first reaction. This is you whipping off your shirt.
Yep.
Summer, we get to the pool. Okay, ready? First reaction. Whoa.
Okay, yeah. Second reaction.
Second one. Hey!
Third reaction.
Holy.
Yeah, and then I'm going to use it as an expert. Probably go with the second, I guess, because it's still a bit piss-takey. There's like, some acknowledgement, some work's been put in.
Yeah.
The first one sounds too over the
top.
Whoa. I'm never going to get in that kind of shape. So.
The first one and the last one were too similar. How about the last one could be...
That's going to hurt. But, you know, we'll go with the middle one.
You've
Goldilocks'd
it.
I think what I enjoyed about that the most was you said, which of these three reactions do you prefer? And you realized you only had two reactions ready to go.
Yeah,
100%.
That usually happens when I do that kind of thing to myself.
I probably just want to feel better in myself. You know, just go, oh, cool. Yeah, I feel confident. I feel like, I've been.
Don't have to worry about it.
Just put in a little bit of effort. That's what I'm wanting to do this year for summer. And whatever that means to you, to me, it means probably get a little bit of a workout routine happening, and in lockdown that's quite hard. I've got some weights left over from the last lockdown, and I was like, cool, I can do that. I could go for a run around the lake in Gungahlin, and I can do a little bit of stuff without access to a gym. But one thing I'm really missing is like a flat bench, like, so you could do a lot of your like sort of workouts and stuff just like a gym bench, because on what I was doing is like I have a footrest at home and I was trying to sort of put that in the center of my back and balance, which activates your core really well, but also terrible for your spine. So what I was thinking is I really need to get a flat bench. I've done that, and I was thinking when the flat bench gets here, that's when I'm going to kick into this getting ready for summer. The flat bench has been here for, got here this time. Yeah, it's been here for 10 days now.
Okay.
I've not done a single workout.
Okay.
And now I'm just walking past a flat bench, which I had express posted to me, by the way. I was like, no, I need this on the double so I can I can begin my new life of fitness immediately. And now it's just assembled, sitting in my apartment, taunting me. It's like, you weren't ever going to change your ways. You weren't ever going to stop using your air fryer every single day. You weren't ever going to start using this flat bench in any meaningful way. I'm now storing clothes on it. That is where we're at. That is actually where we're at.
I was going to say, not in a working out way, but have you used the footrest, since it's gotten there, have you used the footrest more than
the footrest has come back into rotation, which is great news.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Video games, watching TV, fantastic. There's some great documentaries on Netflix.
It's back to doing what it's supposed to do.
But, my God, this is now just so big. This is what I'm saying. If you're going to make a big lifestyle change in lockdown, I think everybody at the moment, we can all agree, and it's Are You Okay Today, and I'm not trying to, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but this is actually, I'm serious, I'm not trying to be funny. Putting one foot in front of the other at the moment, impressive. Still good. You'd get kicking
very,
on.
Very
just, that is what we've all got to keep doing in lockdown. Trying to make a major lifestyle change.
Approach that
with caution. That's all I'll say to you.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, whilst enjoying one of two hours exercise that I get yesterday, I decided to go for a bit of a walk, listen to some podcasts, just get out and about, see the sights.
You're enjoying your 2 hours. I'll tell you what else would be enjoying its 2 hours. Your body. You've never done so much exercise in your life as you've
done
during this lockdown.
It's crazy. I have sciatica, and before we went into lockdown, I was not exercising, which worsens sciatica.
Mm.
And now that I've been in lockdown, I'm out and about more than I ever have been for my hours exercise. Anyway, I saw an animal change before my the psyche of an animal change right in front of me yesterday on my walk, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, so it's just like a Pokemon evolution almost, but like a in reverse. I can't do something that I used to be able to do.
It was more of like a mental evolution. It was like I saw the clogs ticking in this animal's brain. It's like that I guarantee that bird will never be the same.
Uh-huh.
What happened was I was walking around and there was a postie driving around on his little bike.
Mm-hmm.
But
God, how cool are the new little bikes with the tent on the back?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was one of the new ones.
Yeah, I haven't seen one of those ones,
but it's a different one where it had like a visor that goes all the way over the top, essentially making it so you're in like a dome.
Yeah, no, that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, that's the one you're talking about? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like hardened plastic. It's fantastic.
Very cool.
That's the one I saw yesterday. It was absolutely amazing, and I was in awe of this guy.
It's a cross between postie bike and golf cart?
Yes, exactly. Fantastic. Yep. Exactly right. Now, I would imagine the enemy to the nth degree of a postie is a magpie.
In Australia, and, for sure. Like, in the rest of the world, in cartoons, it's always a dog. But, yeah, in Australia, it would be a magpie, for sure.
Now, I was walking around, and I was admiring this postie, doing his job, absolutely loving it, loved the bike and stuff. And I noticed a magpie flying around, not swooping yet, but flying around.
Mm-hmm.
The magpie went to fly down and hit this guy, hit this postie, as I'm sure this magpie has done a million times before.
Yes.
Doof. Hit the plastic visor and bounced off and hit the ground.
Wow.
He went to swoop at him because he was flying around and the postie knew it. And I was like, this postie doesn't care at all. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I saw the magpie swoop and hit the back of, like, obviously he was trying to go for the back of his head, hit the back of the bike, and because it's clear see-through plastic,
Yes. Thudump,
and flip off it, land on the road. And then I saw... I swear to God, I saw the first and maybe only ever time I've seen an animal embarrassed. It was like the magpie stood up on the road and was like, it looked around and was like, what the hell was that? And then I saw it go like, I don't know if I can swoop anymore. What the? It's been one way forever. And then I just couldn't do it. What the hell just happened? I just hit something instead.
I think that would be an amazing thing to witness because I think I already know magpies, I think, are already embarrassed to start with. I think when they leave the tree, they're like, I'm carrying on a bit here. This person's not after my nest. But you know what? I'm still nervous. The one time I don't do it, it's going to be the person coming for my egg. So boom, swoop in. You know what the great news is for this, though? I literally had the dumbest thought in my head then, and this, anyone who's a postie will think, yeah, this is what we've been saying for decades. I thought to myself, I was like, how good that they've got that roof now so that magpies can't hit them. When really I should be thinking, how good they've got that roof now so that rain doesn't hit them anymore. How has it taken this long to get a roof on the bikes? Ned and Josh.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, I like to be on the forefront of conspiracy theories just to know what people are going about touting at the moment. There are some
conspiracy theories used to be great. They used to be so much fun. Yeah. I used to like love them as a kid. Like, ooh, did aliens do this? And like, ooh, is Bigfoot real? Is the Loch Ness? Now they make me so depressed.
Yeah, no, conspiracy
they make
theories
me so sad.
Didn't used to undermine the fabric of democracy.
No,
that they used to just be a little bit more. Was Neil Armstrong really on the moon? Type stuff. It was a lot more fun back in the day. I want to go back to that tradition a little bit because I've got a conspiracy theory that I don't think is certainly going to stop your nan from getting a vaccine or change the way society works. But this is more of the old school fun ones. But it's one I'm on board with, and I'm definitely
real.
Yeah, I'm starting to actually get into.
The basis of every great conspiracy theory.
Well, and also the basis of every great conspiracy theory, the end result that, because you're going to question me when I say this, and it's reasons, that's the end result. Just, why are they doing this? Reasons. I don't know.
Right, okay.
I actually don't know, but reasons. They are doing it for reasons.
Well, there's got to be a certain amount of mystery to any kind of conspiracy.
I would agree. Now, look, we don't normally talk over each other so much, but you're obviously excited about the conspiracy theory.
I'm giddy.
We're not in the same room. That's how this also works with the lockdown show. So let me get to it. Just stop for a sec. I'll give you the full conspiracy theory.
Go.
There have been a bunch of zebras spotted just outside of Washington, D.C. Now, there have been helicopter shots of these zebras. They're walking around. They're just eating grass, minding their own business. But the question does start to pose itself pretty extremely. Like, how did they get there? Why is there no corresponding zoo that is reporting a loss of five zebras? Because these five zebras just outside of Washington, D.C. had to get there somehow. They're not native to the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. How did they get there? No one knows. There is a bunch of times this has happened recently with emus in America, just emus running around, and that makes news. The kangaroo thing happens every couple of months as well, where there'll just be a kangaroo getting about. The conspiracy theory is this. I believe something is releasing exotic animals into just the American wilderness to distract the general public from something. for reasons. Yeah. I don't know what the something is, and I don't know what the reasons are.
But
there is no other reason for us to be seeing stories about just wacky animals being on the loose in America for no other reason than conspiracy theory time. Someone's trying to distract us from something. That's what's happening.
I like this a lot. One of the saddest statistics that came out of Tiger King that was that there are more tigers in captivity across America than there are anywhere else in the world.
Very, very depressing.
Very, very sad. However, that does also make me think, it's like, well, does that mean there's some kind of like insane billionaire somewhere hiding in the mountains who just has like, it's like, release zebras to Washington.
This is what I'm saying.
Release flamingos into Miami. Well, I guess you wouldn't really notice, but like release hedgehogs into Seattle.
what an absolutely possible thing you've just said. Yeah. I mean, for reasons,
I mean.
I don't know. And look, I'm not saying this is true or I'm not saying this is even accurate, but I think, you know what, if it was going to be a government conspiracy at this point, it might be ours to distract the rest of the Australian public from all the cool videos in American stadiums that we're seeing at the moment of everybody going back to their normal lives.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, let me quickly transport you to the beautiful city of Naples in Italy.
Fantastic.
All right?
Let's go there.
The hustle and bustle, the metropolis, the stores. I don't know. I've never been to Naples.
I had pasta for dinner last night. It's upset my stomach a little bit, so I'm already transported there. Brilliant.
You know exactly what's going on. There was a little old lady who decided to go down to a corner store to buy some scratch tickets. All right?
Yep, scratchies.
She decided to buy two. I don't know. I guess doubling her odds.
That's always the big thing there with the old scratchies. I play that game in my head a lot. Do I get two of a cheaper one or do I spurt out for a bigger one and then that way the prize
I like
could
to
be
go
more.
For two cheaper ones. I like to diversify my bonds,
as
it were.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This lady has gone. She's gone into the shop. She's bought two tickets. She's scratched one of them, and she's won 500,000 euros. So $831,000.
Jeez.
Insane.
So euro's not worth what it was, is it? Yeah.
I mean, it's still $330,000 more.
That was once upon a time. That would have been $8 million, I reckon.
It's been rough for all of us. So this lady's won, or at least thinks she's won.
Yes.
And she's like, oh my God, this is insane. She's taking it up to the shop owner and is like, I am sorry, I'm just flustered. Can you please look at my scratcher and tell me if I've just won €500,000?
Mm.
And the guy looks at it and he's like, oh my God, you've won. And then takes off. Runs out. Oh, by the way, this is the guy who owns the shop.
Wow.
Runs outside, gets on a moped, and is gone, and they don't know where he is. He's gone. They still haven't found him.
He's literally done the snake from The Simpsons. Bye. And then just got out of the thing and gone.
Oh, bye. He is. He's gone. They have no idea where he is.
That is.
Because some old lady was like, can you check this? And he was like, you know what the perfect example is? She got Charlie bucketed. Someone golden tickened her.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my God, this is it. Yep. And then ran off.
And just like Charlie Bucket, kicked a young kid in the stomach, except this is an old lady, and it's just gone. Just gone.
He's just gone to the wind.
The funniest thing for me about this is I can't even pretend this isn't what I do. I mean, this is so confusing to me. The trust that we put in people that work behind the counter at anywhere that sells scratches,
because
they're trusted to, upon receiving a piece of paper that gives them potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars, go,
yes.
No, that is yours. That's mine. I don't own this. Yeah. This is yours. And now we're going to facilitate getting you this money. Like, they trusted with a lot. Like, I couldn't handle that responsibility because the greed would overtake me.
I'm working at a tobacco shop in Naples because I want to.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Not because $500,000 would change my life.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is just absolutely the kind of crime where you go, I kind of get that, actually. You would have that no matter who you were, where you were, where you were working. If someone handed you a scratchy worth $500,000 and you looked at it and had it in your hand, even if it was a nanosecond, the thought would go through your head of, I just run away right now.
I could start
a new life.
Well, do you want a reason why you shouldn't do that? The police immediately called the lottery service in Italy, and they're like, "Hey, freeze the win."
Oh.
So this guy can't get the money, and now he's on the run, and no one knows where he is.
He's
does technically have a scratcher that's worth €500,000.
He's gonna have to do a Jack and the Beanstalk. He's gonna have to try and trade this for something.
Sell it.
Yeah, he's gonna have to be like, "I've got this ticket. I can't explain why, but I can't cash it in. You could. Here you go, and I'll take those magic beans."
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, yesterday I went for a walk like I try to do every day when I only get an hour out or 2 hours or whatever
it is
at the moment. And I legit found treasure yesterday. I'm not kidding. All I'm not like, oh, yeah, I've learned a lesson or whatever. No way. I found treasure. I was walking, I don't know if I know it. Well, I don't really live around there anymore. I was walking around Franklin yesterday. And my back was acting up a little bit. I have sciatica. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm just going to chill out for a little bit. Just take it easy. Sat down on a log that is built to be like a chair. So it's like a log you're meant to sit on or whatever.
Log chair.
And just looked over to my left and found this sitting on here. Ready?
Ooh, whoops. Can I hold it up to the camera? You are in your apartment. Yeah. I don't know what this is.
Ready, set.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a rock, if you can't tell.
Oh.
And it says, it's an ACT Rocks rock.
Oh, wow.
The ones that people like paint and then hide around
camera.
Yes. I found it. I found an ACT rock.
That's fantastic.
And it's a little, it's like a little blue. If you did this, if you're listening to it, I found the blue one with the rainbow on it.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Now, here's my quandary. Here's my problem. It says, it's how cool is this as well? It's got a suburb on the back that wasn't the suburb I found it in.
So someone's
I found
put it
in Franklin.
Yeah, someone's put it somewhere.
And it was from 2914. So that's like Harrison. So granted, it hasn't gone very far.
Yes, no,
but
it hasn't
still
moved far. Yeah.
Here's my quandary. On the back of it, it says, ACT Rocks, visit the post a pic of it, whatever. Maybe I'll post a pic of you and I looking at it. That'd be kind of funny. And then on the underneath it, it says, keep or rehide.
Yeah, rehide. You've got to rehide. You have to do
no,
it.
I don't.
No, you need to.
No, I don't, because they wouldn't have said keep or rehide.
No, you're asking between those two options? Yeah, you've absolutely got to rehide.
I know what I need to do. I'm saying I don't want to do that. I very much would like to keep this cool,
well,
pretty
then keep
little rock.
Because you can. I'm just telling you, everyone listening to this is going to think of you as a villain unless you rehide it and keep
what
the fun
I should
continuing.
Have done.
I mean, wipe it down. Obviously, COVID, sanitize
of
it,
course,
and then rehide it. That's what you've got to do.
What I really should have done if I was a smart man is I should have come onto this program that we do every morning. And so I said, I'm going to hide this somewhere great. I'm going to hide it near a park where kids go and play so they can find it. That's what I should have said.
That's what the fun's meant to be, yeah.
I should have said that and then not done that. I've done the exact opposite. Where I probably will go and do that. But now everyone's going to think I just kept it anyway. So if everyone's already thinking I'm a villain, maybe I will just keep it. God, it's just, I feel like I found
rock.
One ring.
It's a great rock.
It's been polished.
It's a great rock. Yeah,
it fantastic. Has been polished. I feel like I found the ring from Lord of the Rings. It's like, I don't want to get rid of it. It's
I mean, so there are heaps of these, though, so you haven't. I mean, you found one of, I mean, it's great. It's definitely Canberra treasure. But you haven't found the one rock to rule them all. You've found
Lord
one of
Lord of the
many.
Rings wouldn't have been as popular if there was like 70 rings.
Yeah, that's it. No, you got to rehide this. I will not handle
fine,
any
I
other.
Fine, I actually
will. Fantastic. Well, there you go. So
I actually will go
it's a beautiful one with a rainbow on it. Now, if you ever find this, just know you found Ned's ACT rocks.
Can I add a message on the back of it?
No,
is that okay?
No, don't deface it. It's the way it's meant to be. You just hide it. The instructions are very clear. If you don't want to let it go that badly, just keep it. Just no one's going to think less of you. I mean, everyone will, but I'm just saying this.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than the end of this mental quandary you've got going on.
I've got to be honest. Yeah, this has actually thrown me. I mean, this shows how bad lockdown is, but this finding a rock has really ruined my week.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do anymore. I've completely lost.
Obviously rehide it. But you know what? Fine. If you don't want to, that's fine too.
No, I will. On the record, I'm going to rehide it.
Yep. Sounds very believable. Very
no,
believable.
I need someone to find it now.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, I have right now for you a story that kind of goes against what I've said in the past on this show, and that is that there is celebrity memorabilia that can just be too creepy. I don't think people should sell it. And I usually go into that department with the locket of hair style celebrity memorabilia.
Oh, yeah.
I find
any kind of trash from a celebrity or any kind of any body part from a human being. Don't buy. Don't buy unless you need it.
I find the celebrity hair thing to be very strange. You know, there's Bieber's donated some of his hair to charity before. I think Harry Styles has done it as well. And people want it, but I just don't get buying that. I don't understand why. I mean, what do you put that in a frame on the wall and you go,
oh,
here's Harry Styles' hair. And then your friends go, oh, wow. He's gross. But
much
also,
like how I base everything off The Simpsons. Patty and Selma just had a ball of MacGyver's hair.
Yes.
So they just carried around in like a yarn ball of
so
another person's
so interesting that
hair.
You've made that reference, because what has actually gone on sale is the king, Elvis. Elvis Presley.
So not MacGyver.
You know? A full baseball-sized clump of his hair that's in a jar has been sold for $72,000, and I, in an incredibly weird about face, think that's probably on the cheap, to be honest. For a baseball size clump of Elvis Presley's hair, yeah. 70 grand. You've got to be buying that in the very likely a situation in the future, maybe tens of decades in the future, where we can clone humans. That is so much of Elvis's DNA that you've got right there, ready to go.
But do you even want that? This is the thing. Do you even really want that?
Somebody did, because it's like in the $70,000.
No. I'm saying in the future when we clone someone, because you essentially you can own the hair. You can own that. The second you make another Elvis, he's like, great. Back to music then. Yeah, see you later. Thanks for bringing back. I'll see you never.
Yeah, but what if that Elvis is actually really into painting or something like that? You know,
you get a dud Elvis.
You try and bring back the king and he doesn't want to do any music. You've got to be like, well, you know, you've got free will. You know, I brought you the costume. I brought you a bunch of guitars. I think we could really make a lot of money together. I've signed up all these dates. And he's like, you know what? Painting. That's my passion. I really just want to paint.
I'm sorry, but landscaping's my calling this time. I'm sorry. I gave the singing a red hot crack. People seem to be okay with it, but this time, I'm sorry. Hairdressing for me. This is just it.
Have you seen what can be done with bonsai trees? That's what I'm dedicating my life to moving forward. You know what? Good point. 70 grand, probably still way too much money.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Just quickly, I have a little bit of a question to ask you as somebody who is quite good at giving presents. I think I've developed the way I give gifts. Like, I've developed a technique, and it's just making me nervous that it's too stingy, but also it's the thought that counts. That's what you're constantly told with presents. You know, no one's really clocking the thing and saying, well, this only cost this, this didn't cost this.
I guess that is true. That's more. I feel like that is more drilled into you when you're a kid, when you have no money.
Yes,
like there is more than the thought that counts when you're an adult.
You're earning a salary and you're 30, and you know the person you're getting a present for, maybe it's their 30th as well. Spray painted macaroni glued to a card, probably not going to cut it the way it would when you're
well,
five.
Well, I thought about it.
Yeah, I put the thought into it. I've got
I thought about doing it.
Okay. Well, that's not what's happening. What's happening is this is for my dad. I got him a camera, so I've already done that part of the work. I got him a camera, and it's now I'm looking at getting him a camera bag because he'll break it in 2 seconds unless I get him a camera bag. But what I've realized is, and I even did this with the camera, what I've realized is when I give gifts, and I don't know if this is a common thing or I'm a stingy, stingy young man. So here's what I need you to hear and interpret. Here we go. When I buy gifts, I work out what I would like and what would be a good thing for me. So I go, if I was buying a camera bag, I would get this newer camera bag here. This is a great brand. Yep. It's going to be nice and solid. And then what I do is
No. If you stop there, that's great. No. That's perfect.
And then what I do is try and find the same thing, but cheaper. So I go, exactly what I'm looking for and then go, but is there a cheaper version? Whereas if I was just looking for myself, I'd go, that's the one I want. I'm getting it. Whereas I've gone here, that's the one I think I should get, Dad. Now let's find one that's almost the same, but cheaper.
Yeah, because one of the other sayings, along with it's the thought that counts, is get a present that you would want. That's what my dad always used to say to me, which I used to hate because then I would go out and buy things I really wanted and give them to other kids.
Now, you misinterpreted that too hard as just get things you would want, not things you would want, but be happy to see someone else have.
I got a pencil case that said Ned Brewart on it and gave it to some kid named Jake. Look, this isn't good.
I should just go for the more expensive one.
Well, he's your dad. Your dad wasn't like, once again, going back to like school supplies, your dad wasn't like, oh, look, 30-centimeter ruler. Josh, you're getting a 15 one this year. Sorry, mate. Just do it twice.
Just draw the line twice. You know, the great news is about it being my dad. I'm so crappy with presents for dad that pretty much anything's going to be exciting. So what I'm going to do
Exactly.
I just get one of the 15-cent Woolies bags and put the camera in that.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Just quickly. Not to take the show in that kind of a direction, but I will. We have to. We've got some news.
Sure.
We've got some fart news this morning. And this actually directly relates to a rule we have in the studio. Apparently, a doctor has come out and said that if you... I'll just read exactly what he said. If you hold in a fart too long, it can be reabsorbed into your bloodstream and breathed out when you exhale.
Ugh.
Yeah. So... Look, I've heard all sorts of things about how holding in a fart's not good for you. But at the same time, yeah, well, this is the same time. I don't know if you and I have a very hard and fast rule. You're in your apartment right now, so fart away. But when we're both in this studio together, burping is acceptable, but farting, no. That is not.
Burping's acceptable until it seems like you're carrying on. Yeah. It's like, all right, chill out.
Burping's acceptable within reason until you're right. Until it's more of a performance and less of a burp, then you're just taking the piss. But
farting is
never acceptable.
No, there is no defense. Straight to jail.
Far too small for it. The ventilation in this building, nowhere near good enough. So there's just no farting in the studio. And that's why I wanted to talk about this morning, because when we come back from annual leave, you're coming back into the studio. I'm worried that you've gotten too used to in lockdown being in a farting environment.
Absolutely.
Now you're going to use this news to your advantage to decide that you should be allowed to continue that way when you come back into the room. I'm here to tell you, I'm pretty keen for our rule to stay standing.
I'm going to need you to forward me that article, and I will send it forward to Rod, and our contracts are being written up. I'll get him to put in a farting clause in our contract where I'm allowed to.
Can I be very...
You don't get to have a say.
Well, no, and I thought you might say something like this, now using this doctor's new thing that you're essentially going to have fart breath unless you fart. I just want to be clear. I'm having a lot of stomach troubles like in the early morning at the moment.
Right, okay.
So you don't want this rule to change. Yeah. Trust me, you do not want this rule to change. You literally...
This is a David versus Goliath type situation, but
you're literally playing with fire, and if there's an open flame anywhere near me, a lot of fire, to be honest.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, right now it is the 9th of September, and we do enjoy talking about this topic on this day because it's such an important topic to discuss, but we should be talking about it all the time, really. Today is Are You Okay Day. It is about just checking in with people. The whole slogan is a conversation could change a life. Now, look, this is never more true than at the moment, I don't think. So, Ned?
Yeah, especially.
How you going, mate? Are you okay? That's a good question to just ask straight off the bat.
Yes. I would say I'm okay.
Yes.
Am I good? No.
Yes.
Am I bad? Also no. But am I okay? Sure.
Yeah.
Before we get in, I would also like to ask you, Josh, are you okay?
Yes, I am okay. I would say exactly the same camp that you are in right now. Not good, not bad.
Yeah.
Grateful for lots of things, to be in a better situation than I know a lot of people are at the moment.
Yes.
In terms of I'm not trying to run a business or anything like that. So I'm feeling very grateful for the things that I can feel grateful about, but also far away from family. There's no seemingly... It's hard when we're in a lockdown that was a snap, let's go and get this done quickly lockdown, and we're still in it a month later, and it just doesn't seem to be like we're going to be getting out of it anytime. So that stuff starts to really weigh on you a little bit, but you know what? I think we're all going through that together, which is another thing to be grateful for. Anybody that you want to talk to about this knows what you're going through or has similar feelings, so you can talk to people about it quite easily. I'm trying to find the things to be grateful for.
No, and I was just going to further your point of, maybe is the only time in history where you will be welcomed as much as possible if you say that something's not all right at the moment. Everyone knows what you're talking about. If you go, hey, I'm actually not doing that great at the moment, people are going to be there with open arms because everyone's not doing that great at the moment.
And that's kind of what Are You Okay Day today is also really stressing at. The whole thing is, are you really okay? So it's burrowing down a little bit deeper. Now, these conversations can be very scary to have with people if you don't know how to do that burrowing or ask a couple of additional questions. There are great resources at the areyouokay.org.au website for how to have these conversations if you're a little bit extra worried about someone. I know lately, look, and this might be too personal, so just feel free to tell me to stop if you think it's too personal, mate, but I've been wanting to know if you're okay, and I've been having to ask that question of you through a FaceTime camera, and I don't feel like I can have a proper conversation. It's really strange, like, that this is like a limitation for us at the moment, like, where I could have a beer with you over 6 hours and really suss out how you are. I don't feel like I can do that right now, and that's why the are you really okay thing is extra important at the moment, because you've really got to have a good chat to somebody to fully get the suss of how they're doing.
And I am pretty bad with hiding my emotions a lot of the time. I don't like to worry people. So, and I know that that's a super shared experience with a lot of people at the moment. No one likes to think that anyone's worrying about them or freaking out that something's bad. But I have a real tough time just letting people know that I'm not okay, or that I'm, I don't know, doing whatever, because I think it's better to put on a face. as someone who's done that for a very long time, and I'm not trying to, I'm 26, I'm not speaking with decades of knowledge or whatever, but if you're a, if you're 16 or if you're 17, don't, people care about how you're doing. I promise you that. It'll be more upsetting for someone to find out that you haven't been okay and you decided to keep that to yourself and let it get worse, or it's something that now consumes your life. No one's going to be upset that you're upset. No one's going to be mad that you're upset. If you're not okay, that's fine. That is okay. And hiding it from people makes you resent them, I feel like, a little bit more, because you, no one knows what you're going through, which is, well, if, can be so, scary.
So in our friendship alone, I can tell you we've had, and this is just personal behind the scenes with Ned and I, we've had screaming matches where, and I'm sure you won't mind me sharing this, you've screamed at me, you never asked me how I am, and I do all the time, but because you do what you do, which is where you sort of go, I don't want to worry anybody, you feel like no one's checking. So this is why this are you really okay thing is extra important today, just to make sure and that the friends you know that, so, like, quote unquote, just get on with it, they might really need you to actually be there for them in a way you don't normally think you have to be.
And I will say that this is, it's a two-way street. Being on the other side of that, I love the messaging of, are you really okay this year? But it is a two-way street for people who are maybe in my side of the fence who don't like opening up, or maybe think it's going to make you seem like you can't handle what's going on in your life. It's got to be a two-way street. You've also got to meet people there, because what Josh just said about me, us getting into screaming matches and me saying, you're not asking me, it's just as much on me to let people know how I am feeling. Just because maybe that's it. If someone's going to ask you today if you are okay, you need to be honest with them, because they are trying to help.
And I think that's what I meant by what I said. Like, you're obviously wanting to talk about it because you feel like no one's asking you about it. But then,
of course,
and that's why today, if somebody does ask and you want to get something off your chest, they're asking for the best of reasons. They're asking because they love you, they care about you, which is definitely the case with you and me. So it's always, that's what, if somebody's going to ask you that question today, they want a real answer. So feel free to, if you've got some stuff on your mind, which we all do at the moment, there's no doubt about that, to varying degrees, feel free to open up and let your mates know or have a bit, especially the people that, as we've just discussed, don't seem to need it. You might just want to just quickly check and just go, hey, how are you really doing? Because you always make us laugh and you always have a bit of a laugh, but like, there's, you've got stuff going on in your head as well.
I tell you, I know at the moment with the news and everything, it seems like it's maybe the most disjointed we as a human, as a species have ever been. This is maybe the most fractured we've been as a people. But I promise you, at the same time, with that going on in the news, I promise you, human-to-human interactions are more compassionate than they've ever been.
Oh, yeah, we understand.
People want to make sure, because everyone hurts at the moment.
Yep.
No one's having a good time with any of this.
Yep. And we've done so much work about understanding mental health and how incredibly important it is. So these conversations are ready to happen. We just need to take the first steps. If you're 100% confused of how to do that, all you need to do is go to areyouokay.org.au, find out all the information. There's some really good stuff about how to have these conversations with people if you're a little bit worried about getting it started. But also, you know, today, look, if you are wanting to talk to somebody, don't even wait for somebody to ask you. You can give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. Yeah, as always, 100%. They're always there, and just the work they do, it blows our minds. It's just absolutely incredible, the stuff that they're always there, ready to go. So 13 11 14 is the number if you don't want to wait for somebody to reach out. But if you can be the person that reaches out today, as we've just said, even people that may not seem to need it, please do. Just check in with each other. It's really, really important. It's Are You Okay Day. More information available at areyouokay.org.au.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit meja.com.au.
Hit 104.7.